Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Life Behind Home Plate podcast. My name is John. I am your host, and I am the vice president for the Evergreen Baseball Umpires Association based out of Vancouver, Washington. Now, this podcast was created for one sole purpose: to help you become a better umpire. You see, umpiring baseball is just like any other skill or talent that you have. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy, it takes passion to get better at it. I can tell you, I started umpiring baseball when I was 12 years old. I have had to learn, sometimes the hard way, about how to become a better umpire. And so this podcast is solely for you. It's to talk about play scenarios. It's to discuss topics that we as umpires face every time we're out on the baseball diamond. But really, the hope is that you become a better umpire. And also, we hope that you fall in love with the game of baseball, because after being involved in youth athletics and officiating sports from youth to Division II, college, I can tell you that if you don't love what you do, then you're in the wrong business. So let's talk about today's topic, and that is how to be the best partner you can be. I can tell you, there are certain names that when I see they get assigned with me, I get excited. As you know, some of my best friends are fellow umpires. I think of guys like Mark and Phil and Cohen and Randy and Dave. There's so many guys that I absolutely love working with. Now, there are also names that I see on my schedule and I think, I hope we can get through the game. Not that there's going to be some blow up, but there are just some people that, in my experience, don't make great partners. So, one of the things that I think is absolutely crucial is that we as umpires view ourselves as a team. You've probably heard it before, the officials are the third team on the field. And I firmly believe that there are things that you can do to be a great partner. And so I've come up with a list of things that I look for in a partner. When I'm working with someone, I want this person to have these traits, or I want them to do these things, because it lets me know that they are serious about working a good game. And the first, let's just hop right into it. Communication, communication, communication. I have told many partners that I've worked with that communication can cover up a myriad of sins, but I need you to communicate with me. So, 24 hours before our scheduled game, I'm hoping one of two things. The first is that my partner reaches out through text messages, through an email, even through a phone call, and confirms the location of the game, the type of game we're working. So is it a junior varsity game? Is it a varsity game? Is it a freshman game? Is it a youth game? The time of the first pitch, as well as the time that they plan to arrive at the baseball field in the parking lot. Now, these are key because sometimes games get switched around, and I know there have been times where I've reached out to a partner and said, "Hey, we're working a game at Camas tomorrow." And they said, "Hey, because it's on the JV field and it's grass, we're actually working at Heritage or whatever." But it's so important that you reach out and you communicate with your partner. Where's the game going to be? What field it's going to be on? What time is the first pitch? And then lastly, what time do you plan on arriving? Now, our association here in Evergreen, or in the Evergreen Association here in Vancouver, Washington, we kind of have a 30-minute, you need to arrive 30 minutes before the first pitch. And that's for a myriad of reasons, but one of it is sometimes we run a little late and we actually don't get there 30 minutes, but we get there 25 minutes. But being there early, having a chance to connect is so vitally important. So I'm digressing from my main point. Communicate. Now, for me, if I send that text message to you, I expect that you're going to respond in a timely manner. My thoughts and feelings is that if I text you before 8 o'clock the night before the ball game, that you are going to respond that day. I find it very hard when people tell me, well, gosh, I'm not looking at my cell phone. You know, if you don't want to look at your cell phone the night before the game, then you make the first contact with me, as well as we look at our cell phones all the time. I know we try not to be on them, but our society is completely addicted to our cell phones. And so the key is just let me know. Now, if I text you after 8 o'clock, my expectation is that first thing in the morning before 9 a.m., you're going to let me know, hey, John, I got your message. I'll see you wherever we're working. I really don't like it when partners will text at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock the day of the game. So make sure you text your partner. Make sure you respond to them in an early manner. I completely understand if, let's say, like this week, I'm working Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm not going to text my partner for the Thursday game until I get done with my Wednesday game, just because sometimes in my brain it's hard to hold all of it. I'll text my Friday partner once I get done with my Thursday game, but a lot of our games here in Vancouver start around 4:30, so it's really not that big of a problem. The second thing that I want from you is when we show up to the field and when we are taking the field, put away your cell phone. Put away your cell phone. Put away anything that might distract you. Now, I know that life happens. There are times that you need to carry your cell phone on you. Personally, I prefer that my partner, that myself, that we do not carry our cell phones on us. It just doesn't look good. Last year, it was the last day of our summer tournament, the last games I worked. I showed up to the game. My partner ran late. He showed up. And as we're walking out onto the field, in one hand, he has his Starbucks coffee. And the other hand, he has his cell phone. And as I'm getting ready to put the ball in play, I look down the first base line and he's in the A position and he's got a cell phone out and still holding his coffee. And for me, that just takes away our credibility as umpires. The moment that the fans, the players, or the coaches think that we don't want to be there or that we have better things to do, that is just opening the gate of having a very long and challenging day. So if there is some reason, if there's something happening in your life that you have to have your cell phone on you, first, please let me know. Say, hey, John, this, you know, you don't have to explain. I have a family issue. I'm going to have my cell phone on me. But don't look at it when you're on the field. If you're in the A position, B position, or C position, don't have it out. Between innings, if you need to run, get away from the field, take a look at a text message, that's more than fine. But again, it just looks so unprofessional, and it really hurts the credibility of the crew when I look at my partner, they have their cell phone out, they're sending a text message, they're looking at a TikTok. Baseball is our time to put away what's happening in our personal life. Sometimes that's not always possible. But again, what I look for in a partner, put away your cell phone. If you have to have it and you have to respond to a family emergency, then step away from the field, respond, and then get right back into the game. The third thing that I look for in a partner is make sure you understand the signs that I'm giving you. When I'm behind the plate or I'm out in the field and we are communicating through our signs, whether it be infield fly, whether it be who has the runner on a tag up, don't give me a signal that you don't understand. That is one of the worst things that can happen. I remember a game here last year where there's a runner on first. There's a fly ball out to right field. The ball hits the ground. The runner from first attempts to go to third base. Now, I'm behind the plate. I give the signal that I'm going to take third base. My partner echoes the call that, hey, I got third base. So I come down the line and I'm looking over and my partner starts creeping towards third base. And as the ball gets closer to third base, we are both right there. And thank goodness we both didn't come up with a call because I let him have it. But that could have been a very tragic situation if he came up with an out and I came up with a safe. So if you do not understand a hand signal or a gesture that your partner is using, then between innings, or hopefully you've pre-gamed this, but if you need to, between innings, get together and talk about it. Don't give me a signal that you don't know, because I am counting on that information. I'm counting that you understand what you've told me, that you are saying that you're going to do what you've told me. Now, another scenario, and this happened with one of our older officials, is that I gave the signal that he has third base, he's behind the plate, I'm in A. Same scenario, runner on first base, ball to the outfield, ball hits the ground, runner from first, goes to second, tries to go to third, there is a play at third base, and there is no one in sight. I stayed with the batter runner, the plate umpire stayed at home plate, and it was awkward, it was uncomfortable, and I just pointed to him, and he came up with a call from 90 feet away. It was awful. And the coach for the team that it went against went absolutely bonkers. Now, after the game, we post-gamed it, and I said, hey, like, what happened? And he's like, oh, I just forgot. Again, these are the scenarios that we just can't forget. If we give a signal, make sure in your brain you're registering, yep, I'm going to third base. I have third base. Because things can go really, really poorly, really quickly when we are just willy-nilly giving out hand signals. The last thing that I think makes a great partner is be willing to give feedback and to receive feedback. Now, again, I have officiated sports for 28 years. It's still something that I'm working at. But it doesn't matter if I work with someone who's worked their very first game or if they've worked 1,000 games. I'm always going to go after the game, during the post game, when we're sitting in the parking lot getting our gear off, I'm always going to say, what do you have? What can we do to get better? What did I miss today? What's something that I can improve on? It's so important that we do not take feedback as a personal attack. That we listen, that we process. And there have been some times that someone's offered me feedback and I think to myself, I don't think that's right. But I'm always going to express gratitude for the feedback. I'm glad they're raising whatever feedback is to my attention, because it either confirms that my point of view or my mechanics is correct, or it gives me something to grow on. And it helps me to say, hey, actually, that's a really good point. I didn't think about it. The second thing is, as you give feedback, be willing to receive feedback. Now, I don't penalize anyone. If I go to them and say, hey, would you like feedback? I will not punish or penalize an umpire for saying, you know what? I know today wasn't my best day. Mentally, I'm not here. I just can't hear it right now. Again, we're all humans. We all go through things. It is more than okay to say, you know what? Today, I can't receive feedback. I'm just mentally not there. And if I constantly work with you, you keep making the same mistakes, and I offer feedback or I say, hey, you know, here's some things that I saw, and your response is, I don't want any feedback, then that just doesn't make me trust you. Again, no one is perfect. We work high school baseball. This is a hobby of ours. No one is getting rich working high school baseball. And so we need to be able to accept feedback, to hear feedback, as a way of improving ourselves and improving the game. So it's more than okay. I've had a couple of guys take me up on it where I say, hey, are you open to feedback? And they've said, gosh, today I'm just not. Okay, great. And then we work together the next time, and hey, are you open to feedback? Yeah, I am. All right, well, this is what I have for you today. And whatever feedback I had from the previous game, unless it affects the current game that we worked, I'm not going to bring up. That's that past game that they don't want feedback on, it's out in the wash. But if I see patterns, if I see habits, then I am going to bring that up. So we as umpires play such an important role in high school baseball, and we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to the coaches and to the fans to really work on honing our craft and being a great partner. So I hope this gives you just a little bit of feedback. I hope this gives you just something to reflect on as you think about how you can be a great partner to whoever you work with this year. Lastly, I always say this, if you are in the Vancouver, Washington area and you would like to join the Evergreen Baseball Umpires Association, please don't be afraid to reach out. Send me a message. I would love to contact you. I'd love to get things rolling because, again, we need each and every one of us to make the game of baseball so great and just to make sure that it continues on for the next generation. All right, y'all, I'm starting my season today. I hope that whenever you start your season, you have a great time. Thank you for joining me, and I will talk with you next week.